All right, guys, welcome back to Rock Talk Podcast. Fucked if I know what episode it is, but today we have Ian Webb. He is the host of two awesome podcasts. One is called Having a Beer with Ian, and the other one, I forgot, unfortunately, the name of it, but it is about hilariously horrible movies like The Room. Ian, my boy, is there anything I missed, and is there anything you would like to tell about yourself?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the name of the podcast, for one.
Right.
Is movies so bad they're good, Midnight Cult Classics and Camp. I tried to make it longer, but they won't let me. No, I'm kidding. That's actually also the name of a Facebook group. Yeah, movies so bad they're good. With, yeah, movies like The Room and Troll 2 and Samurai Cop, where we pretty much just make fun of bad movies. But also there's the Midnight Cult Classics and Camp, where, you know, we talk about, you know, the cult classics like The Thing, stuff like that. Really, really awesome movies that are under the radar of mainstream movies. And then the midnight movies like Grindhouse stuff.
Hell yeah. You gotten to Machete yet?
Not yet, but I plan to do like all the Robert Rodriguez. Yeah, Machete, Sin City, what was it called? Desperado, Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah.
All of Robert Rodriguez is just amazing.
Fuck yeah.
Except for the Spy Kids and Lava Girl shit.
Wait, hold on. Did you just talk shit about Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
Yeah.
You're on thin ice here, bucko.
No.
But yeah, but what was awesome though is because I was so just shocked when I saw that you got it, was you got Greg Sestero's from The Room to be on your podcast just last week. And it was just so awesome to see, because I was just like sitting there just going, just like, holy shit, it's Mark. Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, it took me so... It was so hard not to say, oh, hi, Mark, to him. Because I'm sure he's heard it, like, you know, thousands of times. I didn't want to be I didn't want to be that guy. So, you know, I treated him with respect. But, man, it was so hard not to just, like, throw quotes at him. If anybody listening, if you have not seen The Room, you need to see it. It is the best movie of all time.
Oh, no shit. Like, dude, God... It's one that, like, if it hasn't, if its holiness hasn't blessed your peepers yet, then you're not living correctly, because there's something, there's a hole in your heart that you're tearing me apart, Lisa.
Yeah. If you have, I mean, it's hard these days with COVID, but if you get a chance to see it a lot, like in the theater, surrounded by a bunch of drunk hooligans at midnight. Like a packed theater where everybody's quoting along and throwing spoons and yelling jokes. That's the best thing ever.
Yes. That's just like how the live showings of Rocky Horror Picture Show are the fucking.
Yeah. It's similar. It's very similar to that.
It's awesome. It's just one of those things that goes hand in hand with cult classics. It's just, you just end up getting a bunch of people who are getting together to watch that for fun, and it's just, that's the vibe when you're inside the movie theater watching it. So it's just like, we're all here for the collective love of this one piece of pretty fucking shit cinema. Oh man.
But yeah, thanks for having me.
Definitely, dude. It's a pleasure. Your podcast, Having a Beer of Ian, was definitely fun, but I will also say it was a shit show.
Oh yeah, especially the second one.
There's so many Ians that I got confused. And the fact that I got drunk with it did not help either.
Yeah.
But so,
yeah, what having a beer with Ian is me, Ian. I'm Ian. And my co-host Ian and Ian. And we have guests, Ian, such as yourself, Ian.
Oh.
So yeah, it's like you're actually going to a bar and you're meeting up with a bunch of people and you're just trying to talk over the loud music. That's basically what that podcast is.
and I can honestly say that's how it felt like. it did seem like I was just some guy at a bar, and I heard you guys over to my right, and I'm just like, this is a fun conversation. So we're going to be talking today about just music in general, some great bands to talk to, talk about their music and the background. But first, I wanted to get started with something that you told me about that I was actually like, huh? Something I did not know about is with Black Sabbath. Something I had no clue is that at one point in time, fucking Glenn Hughes from Deep Purple was in Black Sabbath.
Yeah, he did like 2 or 3 albums with them, actually.
Yeah, you told me that. I was like, whoa. So could you tell me more about this?
Yeah, not only him, but also Ian Gillan was also in Black Sabbath. For those who don't know who that is, Ian Gillan is he was like the main lead singer of Deep Purple. Like Smoke on the Water, that stuff. He left Deep Purple, and then he joined Black Sabbath after Dio left, and then he did an album. And then while he was doing that, Glenn Hughes was in Deep Purple, replaced him. And then after Ian Gillan left Black Sabbath, Glenn Hughes joined Black Sabbath and did a couple albums. So it's like pretty much like, if you haven't been in Black Sabbath, you haven't made it.
Oh, man.
Well, let me ask you, actually, what all do you know about, like, the Black Sabbath lineup? Like, did you think that, like, they just died after Dio left or something? Or
no, but I saw that there were other things that I didn't know that Dio left, per se. As I know he did, I know he had his solo shit, and then as well. But I do know about Black Sabbath. That's me. It's like I know about Tony Iommi with his fucking fingertips and shit.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things where it's like when you brought that up, I was just like, hold on, fucking what? Deep Purple?
yeah, not one but two singers from Deep Purple.
Yeah, so you definitely threw me through a fucking loop with that one. So I was sitting there, like, I thought I knew things.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh, you know what else? Their last album, I think it's called Forbidden. You know this, which I believe Tony Martin was the singer of that one, but it was produced by Ernie C, who is the guitarist of Body Count.
Yeah, I thought that name was familiar when you just said that. Shit.
Yeah, Body Count, Ice-T's band. And Ice-T has a track on that album, too. And it is known as Black Sabbath's worst album of all time. yeah, I guess that the whole, like, they tried to do, like, Ernie C tried to do, like, a hip-hop thing, kind of, with it, because this was, I guess the mid-90s when new metal started becoming a thing. And they tried to join the new metal bandwave, and it didn't really work out. And
I could do that too, because Black Sabbath does not belong in the new metal area. They belong right where they are.
I mean, they have transcended multiple genres. Like, you know, the Ozzy years are that's the blues rock. Or also, you know, like the beginning of stoner and doom metal. The Dio years are like new wave British heavy metal, because that's what was going on at the time, like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and stuff. And then when Ian Gillan joined, it was like kind of like a thrash metal kind of thing. They were trying to sound like Anthrax.
Interesting.
And then Glenn Hughes and Tony Martin eras were like, I don't want to say glam, but it was kind of in that sound, I guess.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those eras. Like, I mean, you know, of course, like everybody else, you know, Ozzy's the main one, but I also... Well,
of course. He sticks out like a sore thumb. It's like that man's steely voice. Just you know it's a good time.
I do have to say, and I will absolutely die on this hill, Heaven and Hell is one of their greatest albums of all time.
Yes. I don't remember all the tracks on that, but I know that album title, and I know I've listened to it a couple times.
It is flawless. Like, yeah, like, do yourself a favor. Like, listen to Heaven and Hell all the way through. Like, it is just a perfect album.
Yeah.
It turns away a lot of Sabbath lovers, because it's not that, you know, bluesy rock era that Ozzy was in. It's not that doom metal, stoner metal, hard rock. It's more like Iron Maiden sounding. But I mean, which is great. Iron Maiden is great, but it's different. So I understand why people don't like that. But if you give it a chance, like, it took me a long time to really like get into it. I was one of those guys who was just like, nope, it's different. I don't like it. Like, I like all the other bands that sounds exactly like it, but I don't like that. But then, you know, I sat down and listened to it. I was like, man, this is really good. And and you know why it was so different is because Dio actually co-wrote all the songs on it. Not lyric-wise, but music-wise.
Nice.
Because, he sat down with a bass. He sat down with Tony and he just co-wrote all the songs.
Yeah, dude, that's the way to do it. Just say the all togetherness of the band, everyone working together.
Mm-hmm.
You end up getting a little bit more of a cohesive sound. Yeah.
Well, Ozzy didn't really do a whole lot, to be
honest. Yes. Then again, Ozzy was just Ozzy. Ozzy is just, you just need to bring him in and he can just do it.
So. I read both of their autobiographies, Ozzy's and Tony Iommi's. That's how I know all this. And by the way, both great reads. I definitely recommend it. But
I'm planning on Ozzy's.
It's so funny. Like, you'll be laughing nonstop. It starts his teenage years. The first time he was arrested when he was 18, and he actually served a year in prison. And then he goes into like beginning days of Black Sabbath and like early days when they were still called Earth. And then it goes into their first albums and then when they made it big and then when it started declining and then, you know, when they kicked him out and then the solo years and whatnot after that. But great book. I definitely like, there's so many funny stories from it. Like, for one, he date raped himself. Like, there's a whole chapter about him date raping himself.
What the fuck?
he
what the fuck? Fucking Ozzy. I swear to fucking God.
Yeah. And by date rape, I mean, like, he knew exactly what he was doing. His dealer gave him this date rape drug, and he told him all about it. He's like, this is a date rape drug. This is what this does. And what it does is it paralyzes your entire body. And you're not, like, there's no euphoria. You're awake. You just can't move your body. You feel everything, and you don't get high. And it lasts for, like, 4 hours or something. So he's like, oh, okay, yeah. This sounds amazing. And like, he was sitting on the bed of his motel and he took this day rape drug and then his body paralyzed and he just like fell down. Like, he was like laying upside down on his neck for 4 hours, unable to move, just in pure agony.
Fucking Christ. The thing is, that's such an Aussie thing though.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I brought that up, because it's like, I was thinking of like all of his stories in that book, and yeah, that's like the most Ozzy one.
It's like, you ever see from this reality show, the what the fuck was it called? Because the only thing that can pop in my, keeps popping in my head is Keeping Up with the Osbournes, but that's just mixing in the Kardashian bullshit. I forgot what that reality show is called, but there's one clip from it where he's just sitting there on the couch, and he's just staring at the TV, and the phone starts ringing. He looks over his shoulder and he says, "The fuck is that?"
I haven't seen that. I saw the meme. Like, I saw that in a meme.
It's like it's just a regular phone ringing, and yeah. He can't tell what it is. It's like, fucking Ozzy, man.
Yeah.
Talk about having a fucking strong 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah, in his book, in the late 70s, when Black Sabbath was declining, there's a part where he was so stressed out because they were having a lot of tax problems. Like, the entire band was being audited and stuff because they were rock stars that didn't know what they were doing. Their manager fucked them over. I think they were being sued by a previous manager, and Ozzy was going through divorce with his first wife. And Geezer was giving him shit like, "I need help writing lyrics." So he's so stressed out and doesn't know what to do. He just got a gun and shot all of his chickens. Because his wife was like, "You need to feed the chickens. Take care of the chickens that we have." Because he had chickens. And he was it stressed him out so much. Feeding chickens like was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Tossing seed onto the floor. And he's just like, "You know what? I got this."
He couldn't handle it, so he fucking killed him.
God damn. Can you just imagine? You just you walk outside to get the morning newspaper and you just see Ozzy walking around with a fucking pistol just going, stop walking up to a chicken. Like, just another fucking day.
Jesus
fucking crazy. It must be a trip to be Ozzy's neighbor, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's like every day is a new episode.
Yeah, fucking dude just like walks out in his fucking tidy whities and shit. Grabbing like the fucking newspaper or the trash and shit. Walking back in. It's just like, wait, what? Is that who I thought it was?
Like imagine finding out for the first time that your neighbor's Ozzy.
Oh my god! But in like the worst way possible. It's just like you're just like sitting there, and like all of a sudden, it's just like you like throw a frisbee and it goes over the fence, and you go knock on the door, and Ozzy opens it up, and you're just like, oh, and he's just so pissed at you for throwing a frisbee in his backyard.
Right. Zach Wilde shows up for a visit.
Oh man. That is another man that is fucking killer on the guitar.
Which I gotta say, here's a question I was gonna bring up. What would you say is your top three concerts that you've ever been to? And the reason why I brought that up is because Black Label Society is definitely one of the top three for me.
Okay. I want to pose the same question to you after I'm done. So after I'm done answering, I want you to do that too. So top three. So number one, I gotta say, is just for the experience that I got from it was, I don't know if you know of Kings of Chaos. Do you?
No, I don't.
They're a super group. They're ever-changing lineup. But I went to see them in 2016 when they were on tour coming through Vegas. And they were, it was Corey Taylor from Slipknot, Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, Robert Delio, Billy Gibbons. Matt Sorum. Forgot who the other people were. There was like three other big ass names, like bassist from Stone Temple Pilots, and guitarist from Billy Idol. I forgot his name.
I don't know his name.
Something Stevens, I think.
Right.
I saw that show. It was fucking awesome. It was at the House of Blues, so it was an intimate setting. $16, and I was right up on the barricades. And afterwards, nice. I met Chester Bennington and Matt Sorum and got both of their autographs.
That's what's up.
So that definitely holds the number one spot when it comes to the concert for me.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I gotta say, number two is Slipknot with also in 2016 with Marilyn Manson. That show was fucking killer.
Huh. Okay.
And then, you know, I say it was Slash and Miles Kennedy at the Palladium in Hollywood. That would be number three. Slash and Miles Kennedy.
Interesting. Okay. That was
top three concerts right there. They're fucking great.
Hell yeah. That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah. For me, my top favorite one of all time is Roger Waters.
Fuck yeah, dude. I would love to go to see him.
Dude, it was absolutely fantastic. This was 2018. And the concert, the tour that he went on is actually available like on DVD or something, I think. So like you can watch it. Or it's like I'm sure it's on YouTube, actually. And it was fantastic. Like he made sure no matter what seat anybody was in, they had a great view, because like this not just on the stage. It was like, first of all, there was a giant like IMAX screen that showed like a bunch of crazy shit. And so like I was so far back, it was like a basketball stadium, so like I was so far back I couldn't even see the stage, but the IMAX screen was like, it looked like it was right in front of me. Like if I reach out, I could like touch Roger Waters pretty much. That's how like
damn
big that motherfucker was. Second of all, like when they did the animals songs, like dogs and pigs.
Yes.
A giant. All right, so you know the cover of Animals, right? The factory.
Yes, definitely. Right?
So the factory rose up out of the middle of the audience.
You're shitting me, right? You're shitting me.
It rose up on projector screens, and it just like
did they have the inflatable pig?
Yeah, they had. Yeah, there was a giant pig that was floating around.
Oh my god!
And it gets better. So like, so you know, like the stadium seats where I'm at, you know, they're on like the sides, but then there's the audience on the ground, and that's where it rose out of. So it's like right above their heads, but it wasn't exactly the factory. It was also the White House. It was pretty much the White House with smokestacks. And then the time that pig started playing, it showed pictures of Donald Trump and like all of like his ridiculous quotes that he's said over the time. And he like changed the lyrics to the songs, because you know there's that part in the song where it goes, "Hey you wine house, haha, Sherrod you are." He changed it to White House, and. Yeah, just like little subtle differences, and when he said
"that's
pig,
fucking awesome,"
"pink pig man," that they were talking about Trump. Man, it was incredible. And then, like when what's it called? Another Brick on the Wall Part 2 played. A bunch of children, like 50 kids, came out on stage.
Yeah, a full on show plan.
Dude, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, fucking Roger Waters is sitting there fucking on stage like playing these guitars, and he's just like, these motherfuckers don't know what's coming.
Well, you know what's hilarious is he played like every Pink Floyd song. This was like a 3-hour concert. And every once in a while, he played a solo song. Like, he just came out with a new solo album. So, he played
songs.
But when he did, that was, like, everybody's cue to, like, get up and go to the bathroom or get, like, snacks or refill their beer or something.
Fucking here's my new stuff. Fuck you.
Yeah, if it's not Pink Floyd, I don't care. But like I was just looking down, and like he's singing his heart out, and people were just like walking up, like walking all over the place, like talking. Oh my
God. It's so fucked.
Yeah, but it was hilarious because you know, fuck him, dude. He's an asshole. Like, he's amazing. He, you know, like, Pink Floyd is my favorite. Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, and Parliament Funkadelic. Those are my three favorites of all time. But, like, Roger Waters is a fucking asshole. But anyway, that's my top concert. And then I said Black Label Society. That was amazing.
Oh, you saw Black Label Society? Nice.
I've seen them twice. The second time...
I've been thinking about doing, like, springing for a ticket for
one of their shows. Yeah, it's great. Like the whole crowd is just, like... It's one of those shows that, you know, like, the crowd turns into, like, a sea. Everybody kind of joins together as one and, like, swaying back and forth. Like, like, you can't stand still.
Have you seen Zakk Wylde solo, though?
No,
that's the decision I've been having. Is I don't know if I should do Black Label Society or Zakk Wylde.
I'm sure that would be amazing too. Well, like, I missed just a Zakk Wylde solo show, but I heard that he played a bunch of BLS songs. So I don't know,
because I know he has at least one solo album that he's done. It's like I have that. I listen to that album constantly. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard it.
Cool, you should check it out though.
Okay,
definitely.
And then, what was my third favorite show? Oh, Primus.
Ooh, nice! Yeah, I saw them with Slayer recently.
I remember that tour. I didn't go to that. I wanted to, but I wasn't able to. Yeah,
it was with Philip and Selma too.
Oh yeah, the Illegals.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking tits.
But this show was amazing. This was the Chocolate Factory tour.
Oh, okay.
So, you know that album, right? Where they just did the entire Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory soundtrack and just Primus'd it out. I went to that tour and it was amazing. Like, they opened for themselves, so it was like they opened and just like did 30 minutes of like all their hits, you know, like My Name Is Mud and
that is funny.
That Rich Car Driver one.
That is so funny. It's just like, hey, we're gonna open up for ourselves.
Yeah, it was like. I wasn't exactly. I mean, I figured they'd probably play some of the Willy Wonka songs. I didn't really know what to expect, and it was like the classic lineup, you know. By which I mean they had that drummer Tim, their main big classic drummer, because they've had a few drummers. So they did all their classic hits. Then after 30 minutes, just the screen went down, you know, the curtain came down and they just stopped. And I was like, what? That was just a 30 minute show. Is that it? Like, I seriously thought that was it because they didn't say anything. I was like, what? This sucks. But everybody was just still standing there. Nobody was leaving. So I was just like, huh. Well, I guess I'll just hang out and see what happens. And then they came back on stage and they did the entire Willy Wonka album front to back with like full with like Oompa Loompas and all sorts of shit.
So I'm assuming that them opening up for themselves saved them from having to do an encore.
Well, no, they did do an encore.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So they did the entire album. Then they came back and did, more songs like Southbound Pachyderm, but like very psychedelic. There was like a screen, like
that's what it was like at my concert. Oh man, it was actually kind of rough at my concert. They utilized their lights a lot, and it was getting to the point where I was like just sitting down staring at the floor while listening to the music. So I was like, it's getting to be a bit too much.
Well, they showed there was a TV screen with a lot of psychedelic imagery on it.
Yeah, just like fucking, just like constantly like flashing images, and then this like the psychedelic wavy colors and shit. I was just sitting there thinking, just like I am neither high nor tripping enough to enjoy it.
Oh man, I was enjoying it. I was all about it, but I love psychedelic shit. Like anything that's I don't even do drugs, but I just love psychedelic shit. Like I don't even smoke weed, but for some reason I'm all about like that stoner metal and psychedelic shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
It's I don't chill. Know why. I mean, it's chill. It's amazing. But
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, fucking respect.
Which, speaking of which, stoner metal, that episode that you came on my podcast, Having a Beer with Ian, we had the guitarist of one of like the greatest bands out of my city, Austin, Texas, The Well.
Yeah. They have some fucking pretty fucking awesome music, dude.
Yeah.
I remember the shit you sent me that I checked out before the podcast. Was pretty awesome.
Did you listen to any more since then?
I haven't, no, but they've been popping up in my recommended on YouTube. Nice. I've been considering clicking on it again because
I definitely recommend their albums. They have three albums that are all really good, like just solid.
Do you know if they're up on Amazon Music?
Yeah, they are. Although,
okay, cool.
You have to search for it, and here's why: there's a Christian band called The Well.
That's rough. God, I want to make a black metal band called The Well now.
Right. And it's just like, so you look up The Well, and there's just all this like gospel shit. And you have to like search. God is good. But yeah, they have three albums that are solid.
Fuck yeah.
And they're badass.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. I love them. They Ian was pretty fucking cool. I love his hair too. nice flowing black hair.
No, he's got like brown hair pretty much. But
was it brown? Because it looked a little blackish on the video. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those videos are like, I guess, kinda dark videos, kinda, I don't want to say low quality, but kind of gritty videos. Yeah. I think that was on purpose.
It goes along with the genre, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks nice that way. When you're doing stoner metal, fucking having that nice grit in the video quality is nice.
Yeah, and their bassist is a chick, Lisa. She's pretty cute too.
And she fucking rocks, dude. That is something I want to fucking push. I want more female fucking rockers, goddammit.
Yeah,
we need more female rockers. Oh. We need more female fronted bands. Like, we need more Lizzie Hales. We need more fucking Maria Brinks, you know?
Well, let me tell you, there's a band, I'm not sure where they're from. It's a Metallica tribute band called Mistallica.
Yes, I've heard of them. They came through California before the pandemic. Yeah, I remember seeing the kind of show announced out here.
Yeah, they kick ass. Like, I've seen videos on YouTube. I haven't seen them live, but I've seen videos on YouTube where they were playing all the early Metallica stuff, all the Cliff Burton era stuff, and they were just killing it.
What's awesome is there's also a full female Iron Maiden.
Yeah, the Iron Maidens.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking sick too.
Yeah,
God, any of you ladies in those bands are hearing this, respect. You're awesome, and I want to talk to you. Wishful thinking.
There's a band here in Austin. It's no females. It's all dudes, but they're badass. It's called Slayterica. It's a tribute band of Slayer, Metallica, and Pantera. And they are so badass. Like, I've seen them a few times, and like they just kick ass so hard. And all the early stuff of all those bands, and it's just really incredible. Like, they really throw a good show. Like, I would much rather see them than Metallica today. if I had a choice between saying the actual band Metallica and Slayterica, I'd go for Slayterica.
But that's also like fucking huge props to their singer for that too, because especially when it comes just down to fucking Pantera, fucking Philip Anselmo's vocals.
Oh yeah,
they're fucking out there, man. They're crazy.
Yeah, and these guys do a good job of doing all three. Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, all three impressive bands: Pantera, Slayer, and Metallica. Well, they also switch between members. Oh, you know, like one guy is a lot better at the Metallica songs, the other guy is better at Pantera songs, and they both do the Slayer songs.
Okay, but that's fucking sick. Yeah.
And then the bassist, he does like full on Cliff Burton bass solos and shit.
Nice, dude.
I saw them play like a free show at like a Harley Davidson dealership. There was like nobody in the crowd, but they still fucking kicked ass.
That's the thing when it comes to being a band, is you, no matter what, you have to play every show like it's sold out, because tells your crowd can tell when you phone it in.
Do you like going to a lot of local shows, like bands that nobody's really heard of?
Yeah, it was a lot easier for me to do that when I was still living in Vegas. It's a little bit harder out here in Cali because it's a lot harder to fucking travel out all the way over to Hollywood to go over to the fucking whiskey, you know? But yeah. When I was living out in Vegas, I'd keep an eye out for any local shows. Like, if you're ever in Vegas and you want to go to a nice show, search up Counts Vamped. It is a nice, like, local venue. It's a bar and feeder. And goddamn it, they take care of their local artists. Nice. And they do free shows, too. So where you can come in and watch Typo Negative cover band and a Korn cover band for free. And go home afterwards. You know?
Right,
but what's cool is they still take care of the bands. Is from what I've heard from all the homies that I've talked to, who've played there, is even at the free shows they pay the band, and the band's always hooked up with drinks and food. So it's a very nice venue that I want to make sure hopefully survives through this pandemic. You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of bars around here that have been closing down, but
yeah, you're in Austin, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Austin, Texas. I know of a couple of the bars over there because of I follow a guy on YouTube called Brian Brushwood, and he's based out there. He has a channel called The Modern Rogue.
Okay.
And he used to do teaching magic tricks at the local bars there in Austin.
Which bars would you go through by?
The Handlebar. There's one that's really nice. It's like outdoors. It's got some nice wooden picnic table. That thing, which is hilarious, because I think, as you said, I'm probably describing like 8 different bars.
Well, you know, I think I know which one you're talking about, because it got pretty popular, but I don't remember the name that it currently is. I just remember the name that it used to be, which was Red Rooster.
I think that might be it.
Yeah, it's not Red Rooster anymore. It got like,
he hasn't been doing those videos for a while, so.
Yeah.
It probably was that when I watched those. But yeah, it's like there's some nice looking bars out there that whenever I do end up eventually visiting the Austin area, I would love to go check those bars, the bar scene out there.
That's definitely our big tourist attraction. If you go down 6th Street, it's just bar, 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 bar. And they like close down, they close down the entire street on Saturday nights. And then everybody just like drunkenly wanders throughout the streets. Just,
oh my God. So it's just a zombie apocalypse.
That's pretty much
I want a Bud Light seltzer.
you go into a bar, you get a shot there, then you go right next door and you get a shot, then you go right next door and get a shot.
It's probably a very nice pub crawl street.
One of my favorite places is not there. It's actually on the other side of the highway, on the east side. There's this bar called The Lost Well, which has all my favorite bands play there. It's like this biker bar kind of thing where like stoner metal bands play and doom metal bands play. And funny though, I've never seen The Well play at The Lost Well. I've never seen them there, but all my other favorites, like
Very hard to put The Well on top of the marquee for a place that has well inside the name.
One of my favorite bands of all time is a local band here that nobody's ever heard of. They're called Greenbeard. They're really badass stoner metal, kind of very similar to Black Sabbath. Like blues rock, psychedelic kind of thing, and they're dope. I definitely recommend you check them out. I recommend anybody listening to this check them out. Greenbeard is amazing, and so is The Well.
Yeah. Well, Ian, unfortunately, we are getting close to the time of the end of the podcast, so I will ask you a question that I do enjoy asking all of my guests. You please tell me, what are the 5 most influential albums that shaped you?
Ooh. Man, I wish you asked me this before. Okay. 5, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. Fuck, man. I'll give you one that's really outside the box. I wanted to save this for later, but it's the only one I can think of right now. But it's like way outside the box. It is... Shit, what is that called? I forgot the name of it. Hold on, let me look this up real quick. Like, you can edit out all this like empty space, right?
Yeah. I could totally edit this out. Or, for comedic effect, I could just leave it all in.
Yeah, you actually should do that.
He's like, look at this fucking guy. Am I right?
Oh, okay. I can't believe I forgot what it's called. Mothership Connection by Parliament.
Oh, okay.
That is a funk band. 1970s funk. Like, pure funk. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I love funk. Really big into funk. They're incredible. Mothership Connection. Then I will probably say, I gotta say, definitely something by Pink Floyd. Probably, maybe, I kind of want to say The Wall, but let's go with The Wall. It's not my favorite, but it's the one that speaks to me the most.
Yeah, I feel that because I understand that because it resonates with me a lot more than the other ones too. Yeah.
Although I will say Animals is my favorite, but yes, that's not going to go into my answer.
Animals is the best one to listen to while high. Wall is just great to listen to.
Yeah, both. let's see, so that's 2. Fuck. I mean, I listen to so many different genres of music, so much music. Okay, so there's this band called Mayday, It's that they have a band called Take Me to Your Leader. I'll use that one. They're a hip hop band. They've got two rappers, but also a guitarist and bass who switch back and forth between drums. I mean, not drums, keyboards. And then they have two drummers. They're very instrumental in a hip hop kind of way.
Interesting.
They're amazing. And their lyrics,
I'll have to check those out.
Their lyrics are incredible. Very deep lyrics. So we got The Wall, Mothership Connection, Take Me to Your Leader. I'll throw a Greenbeard out there. I cannot pronounce the name of this album though, because it's like some weird like thing that they made up pretty much. It's called LODARODBOL.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's got like the Motorhead umlaut, the O thing with the two dots on, okay, for like three different O's in that name. Jesus, so yeah, there's that, and then I'll say, you know what? Probably Kill 'Em All.
Nice.
Kill 'Em All by Metallica. Yeah.
Nice. That's first. That's the premiere album, isn't it? That.
Yeah. It should have been called. What's his name? Oh. Yeah. It should have been called Mustaine Wrote 'Em All.
Right. Right. Fucking goddamn. It's so true. I think that's why Megadeth, it also took like blew up so hard. Is because it was the thing. It's just like everyone was like, "Wow, Metallica's fucking awesome," and then they all realized this. They're like, "Oh, Metallica's pretty awesome for a good reason."
I mean, there's Dave Mustaine, but another big reason was Cliff Burton.
Yes, and that is so true, and that was such an unfortunate loss.
Yeah, it really is. He's the man. He's my biggest influence. Like I play bass, kind of. Not a whole lot anymore these days, but like he influences the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's a good man to, look up to when you're playing the bass.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for that. Those are some great albums. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Ian.
Yeah, thank you.
Guys, go check out Ian's podcast, Movies So Bad They're Good, Midnight Cold Classics. And whatever the fucking camp. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking, that's the full name. Yeah, that's the full name.
I've made a title so long that my ADD and ADHD brain can't keep up with it. You're movie's a so, horrible person.
Movie's so badly good. Midnight Cold Classics and what the fuck?
Having a beer with camp. Ian.
And having a beer with Ian. That one kind of makes up for it.
Those two podcasts are great podcasts. I definitely recommend watching them. Especially check out Having a Beer with Ian if you like chaos or my voice, because my sweet sex voice is on at least two episodes of that podcast.
Yeah, those episodes are called. Actually, fitting this podcast is called Ian Talks Rock.
Yeah,
that's the name of that episode, and then the other one is Cock Talk.
Cock Talk. It's so because, fucking great.
Yeah, because we, I don't know why, but we just talked about dicks the entire episode.
And what's so hilarious is because I'm on that too, and it sounds so much exactly like my podcast title.
Yeah, no, that was the point. Yeah.
Yeah, that was such a good, it's a good joke, my dude. It's a good joke. Oh, yeah. GG. I appreciate that. That was a good one. Well, guys, go check those out. Ian, thank you a lot for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very much enjoyed this. It's a very fun podcast. As you could tell, I was laughing my fucking ass off.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's always fun to, you know, nerd out about music and whatnot.
Yeah, because music definitely is something that brings people together. And this proves it right here. Fucking an hour-long conversation of just fucking us talking shit about music.
Yep, and I'm down for it again.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I would love to have you on again.
Hell yeah.
And I'll roll out the red carpet for you. Is there anything else you would like to tell the people listening right now?
Yeah, but I can't think of it right now.
Alrighty. If he thinks about it, it'll be in the description, guys.
All right,
Ian, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, motherfuckers!